Okay. So let's look into this situation where, like, a business deal sparks a big legal battle over bundled discounts. We're headed to the healthcare world for this one, and it's a case with some serious implications for how companies price their products and services.
What's really fascinating about this case, Cascade Health Solutions v. Peace Health, is that it really shows the tension between, offering attractive bundled discounts that consumers love, and the potential for those discounts to really stifle competition.
So we're talking about that classic good deal dilemma. When does a discount cross the line and maybe become something that could actually harm the market in the long run?
Exactly. And to see how this plays out in the real world, we're going to Lane County, Oregon, where we have two hospitals, Peace Health and Mackenzie Willamette, which later became Cascade Health Solutions. They're the only two providers of hospital services in the area.
Okay, so already we're seeing like a limited market, which makes this whole bundled discount situation even more sensitive. But let's back up for a second and break down who these players are. So we've got Peace Health, the bigger of the two.
Right. Peace Health is really the dominant player in the market, especially when it comes to those specialized services. They have a large share, like a whopping 90% share for tertiary neonatal services and 93% for tertiary cardiovascular services. And for primary and secondary care services, which are more common, they still hold about 75% of the market.
Okay, so they're the big fish in a relatively small pond. Now, what about Mackenzie Willamette? What's their specialty?
Mackenzie mainly focuses on primary and secondary care services. So they're directly competing with Peace Health in those areas, but they don't offer the same range of those specialized tertiary services.
Got it. So essentially, Mackenzie is trying to carve out their niche in a market where Peace Health already has a really strong foothold. And this sets the stage for a power dynamic that's important to keep in mind as we kind of unpack this whole case.
Absolutely. Now here's where things get interesting. Peace Health starts offering these bundled discounts to insurers, attempting 35% to 40% off on those specialized tertiary services.
On the surface, that sounds like a great deal for insurers and potentially for patients too, if those savings get passed along. But I'm guessing there's more to this story.
There is. There's a catch. To get these discounts, insurers had to agree to make Peace Health their exclusive preferred provider for all services. That means, primary, secondary, and tertiary care. Everything had to go through Peace Health.
Wow. So it's like saying if you want the best deal on specialized care, you have to give us all your business, period. That doesn't sound very fair to Mackenzie or other potential competitors.
And that's exactly what Mackenzie argued. They cried foul, claiming that Peace Health was engaging in anti-competitive practices, to essentially squeeze them out of the market. They felt that these bundled discounts were designed to leverage Peace Health's dominance in tertiary services to gain an unfair advantage in primary and secondary care as well.
So it's not just about the discounts themselves, it's about how those discounts are being used to potentially manipulate the market.
Precisely. It's about whether Peace Health was wielding their market power in a way that violated antitrust laws, which are designed to protect competition and prevent monopolies.
Okay, so we've got a classic David and Goliath situation brewing here with Mackenzie taking on the industry giant. How did this all play out in court?
Well, Mackenzie decided to throw the book at Peace Health. They alleged violations under both federal antitrust laws like the Sherman Act, focusing on claims of monopolization and tying, which is when a company, forces you to buy one product in order to get another. They also brought state-level claims under Oregon law alleging price discrimination and tortious interference, which basically means intentionally harming someone's business relationships.
So they were covering all their bases, trying to hit Peace Health from every angle.
Yeah.
It sounds like this was a pretty complex legal battle.
It was, and the jury's verdict kind of reflected that complexity. It was a real mixed bag, with wins and losses for both sides.
Okay, so tell me who came out on top in the end?
Well, Peace Health managed to dodge a bullet on some of those big federal antitrust charges, like monopolization. But Mackenzie had their own victories. They won on attempted monopolization, price discrimination, and that tortious interference claim. They even walked away with a cool $5.4 million in damages.
Which, as I recall, under antitrust law, that gets automatically tripled. So we're actually talking about $16.2 million. That's That's a pretty significant blow to Peace Health, even if they dodge some of the bigger charges.
It is, but hold on, the story doesn't end there. Remember, this is just round one. Both sides decided to appeal, and that's where the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals enters the picture, and things get even more interesting.
Okay, I'm definitely sensing a twist coming. What did the Ninth Circuit do that shook things up?
Well, they vacated some of those key verdicts and sent the case back to the lower court to be reevaluated. But here's the real game changer. They introduced a brand new legal standard to evaluate these bundled discounts, the discount attribution test.
Now that sounds intriguing. Break it down for me. What is this discount attribution test all about? And why is it such a big deal?
It's a big deal because it forces courts to really look closely at the cost structure of bundled discounts. They have to allocate the entire bundled discount to the competitive product, which in this case was primary and secondary care services.
So instead of looking at the overall discount, they're zeroing in on how that discount affects the specific area where competition is at play. That makes sense, but how do they determine if the discount is actually anti-competitive?
If the price of those primary and secondary services after applying the entire discount falls below Peace Health's average variable cost, then the discount is considered anti-competitive.
Average variable cost meaning the cost of producing, you know, one more unit of those services. So essentially they're looking to see if Peace Health is selling those services below cost, which could be a sign of predatory pricing.
Exactly. It's a clever approach because it ties back to the concept of predatory pricing, where a dominant company might intentionally sell below cost to drive competitors out of business, only to jack up prices later once they have a monopoly.
That's definitely a tactic we've seen in other industries. It's a way to create a short-term loss to gain long-term market dominance.
And that's what the Ninth Circuit is trying to prevent with this discount attribution test. They're trying to protect competition and ensure that companies can't use bundled discounts as a weapon to stifle innovation and harm consumers in the long run.
So this test could have major implications for how bundled discounts are structured and evaluated in the future, especially in industries where one company holds significant market power. But the Ninth Circuit didn't stop there. They also threw in another curveball, didn't they?
They did. They decided to ask the Oregon Supreme Court to weigh in on a very specific question. They wanted to know if Oregon's price discrimination law, which has some unique features, still holds up after a landmark Supreme Court decision in the Brook Group case. This case set a higher bar for proving price discrimination claims, and the Ninth Circuit wanted clarity on how Oregon's law fit into that picture.
So we have this potential conflict brewing between state and federal law, which adds another layer of complexity to an already complicated case.
It does, and we'll dig into that more in the next part of our deep dive, where we'll explore the broader implications of this case for businesses, consumers, and the future of antitrust law. But for now, let's take a moment to reflect. What are your initial thoughts on this discount attribution test? What stands out to you?
Well, for me, it seems like a pretty clever way to identify potentially predatory pricing schemes, by focusing on the cost structure of bundled discounts. It's like shining a light on the inner workings of these deals to see if they're truly beneficial to consumers or if they're masking anti-competitive tactics.
I agree, and I think it's important to remember that this case isn't just about hospitals in Oregon. It has implications for any industry that uses bundled pricing, which is pretty much everyone these days, from streaming services to phone plans, software subscriptions, even your favorite fast food value meal. This case sets a precedent that could really ripple through the economy.
So while this case might seem like a niche legal battle, it actually touches on something that affects all of us. The price we pay for goods and services, and that's why this deep dive is so important.
Absolutely, but we've only just scratched the surface. There's so much more to explore. What are the long-term implications of this test? How will the Oregon Supreme Court rule on that certified question, and what does this all mean for consumers like us?
All great questions that we'll tackle in the next part of our deep dive. Stay tuned. This is just getting good.
Welcome back to our deep dive into bundled discounts and antitrust law. As we pick up the story, we're dealing with the Ninth Circuit's decision in Cascade Health Solutions v. Peace Health and the implications of their newly minted discount attribution test.
Right. That test really threw a wrench into the traditional way courts have looked at these bundled discounts, forcing them to, you know, allocate the entire discount to the competitive product and then compare that price to the defendant's average variable cost. That sets a pretty high bar for companies to clear.
That's right. And what makes this case even more intriguing is that it doesn't exist in a vacuum. It has the potential to reshape how we think about bundled discounts across a whole range of industries.
Absolutely. We see these bundled discounts everywhere these days. You know, cable and internet packages, software subscriptions, airline deals, you name it. Any company that uses bundle pricing strategies really needs to be paying attention to this case.
Let's imagine for a second that a tech giant like Amazon decides to bundle its Prime membership with grocery deliveries at a significantly discounted rate.
Okay, I can see that happening. They already offer grocery delivery through Whole Foods, so it's not a stretch to imagine them, you know, bundling it with Prime to attract more subscribers.
Right. And let's say a smaller grocery delivery service cries foul, claiming that Amazon is using its market power to undercut them unfairly. How would the discount attribution test apply in this situation?
Well, it sounds a lot like the Peace Health scenario, you know, playing out in the digital world. So following that logic, the court would first have to determine the competitive product, which in this case would be the grocery delivery service itself.
Exactly. Then they would allocate the entire discount offered on that Prime grocery bundle to just the grocery delivery service and see if the resulting price falls below Amazon's average variable cost for grocery delivery.
So if after crunching the numbers, it turns out that Amazon is essentially selling groceries below cost just to lock in Prime members and squeeze out the competition, that would raise some serious red flags.
Absolutely. The discount attribution test is designed to catch those kinds of predatory pricing schemes. It's all about protecting competition and ensuring that companies can't use bundled discounts as a weapon to stifle innovation and ultimately harm consumers.
This makes me think about something else the Ninth Circuit emphasized in their ruling, that connection between the discount attribution test and the concept of predatory pricing.
Yes, they were very clear about aligning their approach with the Supreme Court's precedent in Brook Group, a landmark case that set a high bar for proving predatory pricing claims.
Remind me, what's the standard under Brook Group? I know it's not enough to simply show that a company is selling below cost.
You're right. Under Brook Group, a plaintiff has to demonstrate that the defendant not only priced below cost, but also has a dangerous probability of recouping those losses later by raising prices once they have a monopoly.
So basically, they have to prove that the company has a realistic plan to dominate the market and make back those losses, which could mean, you know, punishing consumers down the road with higher prices.
Exactly, and the Ninth Circuit was very intentional about connecting their discount attribution test to this well-established body of law on predatory pricing. They wanted to make it clear that they're not trying to punish companies for simply offering competitive discounts that benefit consumers.
Yeah.
Their target is those predatory schemes that ultimately harm the market.
Right. It's a delicate balancing act for sure. They want to encourage competition and innovation, but they also don't want to stifle companies from offering legitimate discounts that could save consumers money.
It's a classic push and pull dynamic in antitrust law. But let's shift gears for a moment and talk about another fascinating aspect of this case. The interplay between state and federal law.
Right. The Ninth Circuit's decision to certify a question to the Oregon Supreme Court was a really interesting move. It highlights the complexity of antitrust law in a system where we have both state and federal regulations.
Exactly. They essentially asked the Oregon Supreme Court to clarify whether their state level price discrimination law is consistent with the federal standard set in Brook Group.
Which on the surface might seem like a simple question, but the answer could have a ripple effect across the country, potentially influencing how price discrimination claims are handled in other states.
Absolutely. And to make things even more complicated, the Ninth Circuit specifically pointed to a 1978 Oregon Supreme Court case, Redmond Ready Mix, which seemed to allow price discrimination claims even without requiring proof of below cost pricing.
So they were basically asking if Redmond Ready Mix was still good law after the Brook Group decision, which came later and set a higher bar.
Precisely. It's like they were asking the Oregon Supreme Court to choose a side. Do they stick with their potentially more lenient state law or align with the stricter federal standards set by Brook Group?
Right. We've got this potential clash brewing between state and federal law. And the outcome could have some interesting consequences. If Oregon decides to stick with its more lenient approach, it could become a sort of safe haven for companies looking to engage in aggressive pricing practices.
I see what you're saying. Businesses might be incentivized to shift their operations or focus their efforts in states where they face less stringent antitrust scrutiny. It could create a patchwork of regulations across the country.
Exactly. And that's why this case is so compelling. It's not just about two hospitals in Oregon. It's about the potential to reshape the landscape of antitrust law nationwide.
It really raises the question of whether we need more uniformity in antitrust law across the states or whether we want to allow for some flexibility and experimentation at the state level.
Right. It's a complex issue with no easy answers, but that's what makes this deep dive so interesting. We're grappling with these fundamental questions about how to balance competition, consumer welfare, and innovation in a rapidly evolving economy.
And that's what makes the Ninth Circuit's decision to certify this question to the Oregon Supreme Court so fascinating. It's like they're setting the stage for a legal experiment to see how different approaches to antitrust law can play out in the real world.
It's almost as if they're saying, here's a tricky situation, Oregon. What do you think?
Exactly. And the Oregon Supreme Court's answer could have far-reaching consequences, but we'll have to wait and see how it all unfolds. In the meantime, let's pause here for a moment. What aspects of this case have stood out to you so far? What questions are still swirling in your mind?
Well, for me, the biggest takeaway is this potential ripple effect of the discount attribution test.
Yeah.
It seems like the Ninth Circuit is signaling a shift in how we think about bundling and its role in a competitive market.
I agree. It's a landmark case that forces us to reconsider the boundaries of antitrust law in a rapidly evolving economy. And I'm particularly interested in how the Oregon Supreme Court will rule on that certified question. Will they align with the federal standard or chart their own course?
That's the million-dollar question, and the answer could have major implications for businesses, consumers, and the future of antitrust law. But we've only just scratched the surface. There's still so much more to explore. What will the lower court decide on remand, armed with this new discount attribution test, and what will the long-term impact be on businesses and consumers across various industries?
Those are all excellent questions that we'll delve into in the final part of our deep dive. Stay tuned for more twists and turns in this legal saga.
Welcome back to the final part of our deep dive into Cascade Health Solutions v. Peace Health. You know, we've explored the twists and turns of this case, from the intricacies of bundled discounts to the possibility of predatory pricing, and even the fascinating interplay between state and federal antitrust law. But as we wrap up, let's shift our focus from the legal complexities to the bigger picture. What does all of this mean for you?
Yeah, that's the question we should all be asking. While this case might seem like a legal battle happening in a far off courtroom, it actually has implications that extend far beyond that courtroom. It affects how businesses compete and ultimately how we as consumers navigate the marketplace.
Exactly. Think about it. We encounter bundled discounts every single day.
Yeah.
You know, from streaming services and phone plans to grocery store deals and even vacation packages. They've become a standard pricing strategy. But this case makes us stop and wonder, are we really getting a good deal, or are we unknowingly supporting practices that could stifle competition and eventually lead to higher prices down the road?
That's where the discount attribution test, steps in. It gives both regulators and competitors a tool to really, scrutinize those bundled discounts and make sure they're not being used as a weapon to unfairly disadvantage rivals. By zeroing in on the cost structure, it helps differentiate between legitimate discounts that actually benefit consumers and those predatory pricing schemes that ultimately harm the market as a whole.
So the next time you see a tempting bundle, remember the Peace Health case, and ask yourself, is this a genuine good deal, or could it be a tactic to gain market dominance and possibly raise prices later on, down the line?
Precisely. This case encourages us all to be more informed consumers, to look beyond the surface allure of a discount and think about the bigger picture for competition and market dynamics.
And we can't forget about that lingering question that the Ninth Circuit posed to the Oregon Supreme Court. What are your thoughts on how they might rule on the relationship between Oregon's price discrimination law and that federal standard established by Brook Group?
It's a tough call. The Oregon Supreme Court could decide to harmonize their state law with the Brook Group standard, essentially raising the bar for proving price discrimination in Oregon, or they could decide to hold on to their more lenient approach, which could lead to a divergence between state and federal law.
And that difference in legal approaches could have significant consequences. If Oregon keeps that lower bar for proving price discrimination, it might become a magnet for businesses looking to engage in more aggressive pricing tactics within the state.
Right. It would be fascinating to see what happens. It could turn into a real world legal laboratory where we can observe how those different standards actually impact market competition and consumer welfare.
It's almost like the Ninth Circuit purposely set this scenario up, creating a legal experiment to test out different approaches to antitrust law and see how they play out in the real world.
That's a very, very interesting way to look at it. And no matter how the Oregon Supreme Court rules, their decision will be closely watched by legal scholars, businesses, and consumer advocates. It has the potential to shape the future of antitrust law, especially as we move into a world that's increasingly dominated by bundled discounts and complex pricing strategies.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Cascade Health Solutions v. Peace Health, let's leave our listeners with something to ponder. In a world that's more interconnected than ever, and where bundled discounts and intricate pricing strategies are becoming the norm, how can we ensure that competition stays strong, innovation continues to thrive, and consumers ultimately benefit?
It's a question that will continue to challenge us, but I believe that by having thoughtful discussions, exploring diverse viewpoints, and demanding transparency from both businesses and policymakers, we can strive to create a marketplace that is both dynamic and fair.
This case reminds us that we're not just passive observers in the marketplace. We all play a role. The laws governing competition, pricing, and consumer protection, they impact every single one of us, whether we realize it or not. By understanding these issues, even at a basic level, we can become more informed consumers, smarter shoppers, and more engaged citizens overall.
Absolutely. It's about recognizing that even legal battles that seem far removed from our daily lives can actually have a tangible impact on the choices we make, that the prices we pay, and the overall health of our economy.
So thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Cascade Health Solutions v. Peace Health. It's been a fascinating journey into the world of bundled discounts, antitrust law, and the constant struggle to balance competition and consumer welfare.
It's been a pleasure exploring these issues with you, and I hope our listeners will continue to think critically about the forces shaping the marketplace and demand a system that works for everyone.